I'm so excited to hear your story of the gift that you created for your partner. And maybe you could start by telling us, you know, what the gift was, what you called it, that kind of thing.
Terrific. So the name of it, what it became, was a virtual book club and coffee date birthday week celebration, which is
fun.
Yeah, which is a mouthful. But what I can do is I wanted to kind of start with that, and then I can break it down to what the elements were. Well, actually, let me give you a little bit of the backstory. As with many people, and probably anyone who is perhaps coming to you for help with gift giving, you know, I find that when it comes time to give anyone I care deeply about a present, that, you know, giving them stuff or things, it just doesn't really, you know, most people, but you know, can kind of buy the things if they really want something. And I just wanted to do something really meaningful. And for this particular birthday, my partner, Jenny, was had actually been in a really long period of focusing on a work project and was sort of coming up for air and feeling a little, like, disconnected and disjointed from life, and it just happened to coincide with her upcoming birthday, and I realized what I wanted to give her was an experience of things that she loved and connecting with people that she loved, and the way it evolved was it actually originally started with you know, my experience on birthdays is often what happens is you hear from a lot of people on your birthday, but you're either overwhelmed by all those phone calls coming in or who can stay on the phone all day. And, you know, and then you stop even answering the phone and you just listen to the messages. And that what I thought would be more easily integrated would be a series of phone calls where basically what happened is each day I send out an email to a group of friends from all areas of her life, and I invited them to sign up for a 15 to 20 minute slot of time where they would call in. I put it on Jenny's her work calendar, so it became, you know, this was part of her work day because it did run for 7 or 8 days. The 7 or 8 days leading up to her birthday. And so I scheduled these appointments, and what I invited people to do was to, the book club element, was to send me a list of 2 of 3 of their favorite books that they would like to share with Jenny. And the way it unfolded was that I scheduled the different friends, and then because I actually came up with this idea a little close in, I wound up going out and procuring the books. And I really wanted to use my local bookstores. We have so many of them here in the Bay Area. But I just wanted to say, if someone were doing this and planning far enough in advance, I think it would be really lovely. Like, some people, one person did have time to send a book because she really wanted to. It was a personal book off her shelf that she wanted to send. But it could be, so people could, like, I would just suggest doing it in enough advance notice so that people can, you know, get it in the mail. And who doesn't love getting anything in the mail these days? And so how it actually unfolded is Jenny knew a couple of days before her birthday that she had these 7 or 8 appointments scheduled on her calendar. She didn't know what any of them were. And on the first day, what I did was I went out and got actually 2 of the books that this one friend recommended, because one was discounted and the other was new. And so I just thought, oh, I'll get both of them. And what I did is I presented her with a coffee cup, and a brand new coffee cup, and the book wrapped. And I said, you know, open the books. And she opened them, and I said, your phone is going to ring, and someone from your life is going to be on the other end, and you're going to talk about the books. And this person picked these books out for you, and each time she would guess. And it was so funny because she always guessed this one friend who was actually someone later in the week, but it was great because she always guessed, it's Annette. And then finally Annette called. But each time she was just super surprised because once, you know, there were a lot of friends from high school that she grew up with, but there was also her mother's best friend from when she was growing up, and her mother passed away 10 years ago. So it was very, totally shocking and surprising to hear from this woman, Roxanne, and she actually shared a birthday with her. Jenny shares a birthday with her mother, so to also hear from one of her mother's friends was just particularly meaningful to her. And the book that she gave her was actually one of her favorite books that she's read as well. And so it was, you know, people, no one duplicated any of their book selections, which was really interesting. And so what happened by the end of this week is there was just this like growing stack of books, because I would present the books to her each day when she would take the phone call. And you know, she would be on the phone. You know, I asked people to allot, you know, 15 or 20 minutes per time just to give them a guideline, but she wound up spending at least 45 minutes, sometimes an hour, talking to people. And you quickly move on from the book. You know, you talk about it a little, but they said why it mattered to them. And now living with Jenny, as she's been reading through these books, you know, she's reached back out to people or emailed them, but the spirit of those people is really with us while we're talking about these books as well. And so she said it was definitely one of the most meaningful books, gifts she had ever received. And it was a fabulous present to give, too, because really, if you do it far enough in advance, you don't even have to buy any books. Like, it's really, it doesn't have to cost anything. And so a couple of other things I wanted to add about it was I wound up, a new bookstore just opened up in my neighborhood on 24th Street and here in San Francisco, and Folio Books, and they were a newly owned bookstore. It used to be a bookstore. Now they have new owners, and they were super excited about it when I shared with them why I was coming in to get the books, and they loved the idea of the possibility that, like, if people wanted to do something like that, they could even see putting a bookshelf of all the books that a certain person chose. And you could come in and see that. So it just became very interesting to other people as well, because you're always sort of interested in other people's, you know, book ideas and suggestions. And then I just wanted to add, too, in thinking about it for a while, you know, we did follow up with Jenny really wanted an in-person birthday present as well, and we wound up, or birthday party, and so we did have a dinner party, too, and friends brought books to that party as well. But I just wanted to say, as I think one of the reasons I wanted to give her this present is that she's more extroverted than I am, and I think it's a really wonderful present for an introvert. Because I think for those of us who are overwhelmed at the idea of sitting at the head of a table and being the guest of honor, and that just sounds like not a lot of fun at all, that for introverts, it's a really lovely way to connect more deeply at a sustainable pace and, you know, a day by day, you know, and then getting a gift that actually you live with and kind of build your own relationship with. And even if you don't like the book, it's still part of that experience. So I just wanted to say that that might be something in terms of thinking about, you know, if someone were trying to duplicate this. And she loved it so much. I mean, we're losing the surprise element, but it just so happened that everyone that was on the list this year was all women, and that next year we're going to do it with all male friends and, like, and there were just men in her life, like, you know, my dad will probably get involved, and she has some favorite nephews and a professor from college. And so, and we'll do it in plenty of time, too. And it just, so we may do this every year with a different theme of who the people are that are sending their books and having this conversation. Yeah.
Oh, there's so many things that I love about this. I don't even know where to start. I mean, first of all, I totally agree with you, and I think it's so beautiful and insightful of you to see that about, you know, birthdays can be really overwhelming, exactly the reason you said. It's a lot all at once, and it's hard to take in. And I just talked to a friend yesterday who, you know, she was exhausted by the time I talked to her. She's like, I love you so much, and I want to talk to you, but I've been talking all day. And I was like, I get it, you know. So I just love it. It was such a beautiful thing, that piece of it. You know, and then what you said about, I mean, books are just, as if for those of us who love books, which I'm one of those people, it's like, they're like, you have it all your life. And it's like you said, it's like their spirits are with you, you know, when you look at the shelf. I love that. It's like her birthday just keeps going on. I did want to ask you, it was a surprise at first, how did you get those appointments on the calendar? What'd you tell her?
Oh, I just said it was her birthday week. I said there, and I did birthday activity number one, birthday activity number two, birthday activity number three. And she has a Google calendar, and I asked her for access to her calendar so I could put them on. So, I mean, that part can't really be a surprise, because you want to do it at a time. You need to kind of tell the person, you know, I want you 15 or 20 minutes or, you know, and preferably when they're not driving, or, you know, when they can really, and they're not going to be on the rush or they're not going to be rushed or racing around. So, yeah, I just told her I was planning something and I wanted to schedule it so it would work for her to take a break.
So a surprise. She didn't know what was happening. She just knew it was something something fun happening.
Yeah, she knew something, but she wasn't quite sure what. And I just have to say, I love that idea of the you know, for her it was like the birthday week, but, you know, you could do it a birthday month, and not that you do it every day, but you could have, like, every other day or just on the weekends, or there's lots of ways to work around it to make it, you know, fun. And, I just want to say, too, this whole thing started as, like, I was kind of talking to friends about it. It started with just phone calls, and then that didn't seem like, you know, quite substantive enough. And then we added the book in. And so just to kind of follow your intuition and to build on things, because this didn't pop out of my head fully formed. It was something where I wish I had started a little earlier, although I didn't mind buying all the books. If you don't want to have to race around buying all the books, it's nice to do and it far enough in advance where people can put it in the mail. So
yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, what I really want, I did want to stop and underline that, because you just made a really important point that it wasn't fully formed, that you just followed your intuition. You kind of had, this is at least what I thought I heard, is that you had a sense about what might be really enjoyable for her, which was, you know, a series of connections. You know, I love that. First of all, you were paying attention that she was feeling, you know, she'd been so focused on work. And so it's like you sort of followed that nudge of like, wow, it'd be great to connect her with her friends. But then it's like it wasn't fully formed and you just followed the trail. And I think that's so important for people to hear, because it's like that's often how creativity, you know, reveals itself in little bits and pieces.
Absolutely. Because, I think midway, I think why I kind of kept thinking about it and the book element got added was that I kind of liked the idea, but I didn't love it. It didn't give me goosebumps. And I have to share this wonderful quote that I heard recently. The music producer Quincy Jones was talking about working, when you're working on creative projects and, you know, you're in that not knowing, and he was, you know, talking about how you're in the not knowing for a long time. He said, what you have to trust is God's divining rod, and that's goosebumps. And And he said, because you just have to trust that, because he goes, if it turns you on, maybe it'll turn someone else on. And he goes, that's all you can trust. That's all you can go with. And just even saying that gives me goosebumps. And there's also this thing, if like Quincy Jones is doing that, like I can kind of trust if someone at that level or, you know, with that, you know, the body of work he has as a creative, I can kind of trust that. I can trust that and just bring it down to size and make it really personal for me as well, and to just trust that, you know, no matter where you are in your creative process, the landscape is similar. So, and so goosebumps, it doesn't get much more personal than that.
Well, the other thing that I love about what you're saying, Susan, is that it's like, because one of the big things for me is really that gift giving is everybody receives, right? It's like that. It's like this. It's a gift to the other person. But when it's a joyful gift giving, like you're talking about, so it's like it sounds to me like the experience for you, was a goosebumps. And how how marvelous is that? That it's like, I guess that's one of the things I always look to. You know, to like what's a great gift, and I think a great gift has that for the person giving it.
I completely agree. Like, I know it's sort of, I don't even know if it's cliche. I think it's one of those things that's, you know, better to give than to receive. But I think this really is one of those things where, for me, giving a gift that just, you know, just hits the mark is so satisfying. And one of the really sweet things that happened was as the week was going on, we were stacking the books and also writing the names of the people, because I made a list of numbers and we would write their names in, and then, you know, we'd leave it blank for the person hadn't called in. And at one point Jenny wrote on the top of it, "People who love me," or something like that. And I just thought, it was like, it was so sweet. But I think we get into this place, our minds will just tell us things that are so untrue, and we can, especially when we're really get out of balance, when we're just focusing on one thing. And these are, I mean, I could have had a lot more people calling her and sending her things, but, you know, I really kind of handpicked the people. And I just think that we all need those reminders of how connected we are to each other, how much we mean to each other. and to be reminded that not only that, you know, that we're all held, loved by many more people than we probably, our little minds would let us believe.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah, I love that.
Just to echo that whole thing of being kind of orchestrating that gift is incredibly satisfying. Yeah,
and I was going to ask you to just, if you would say a little bit more about the process of giving it, like, you know, more of what you felt or saw around that, if there is anything else.
I don't know. I mean, I guess the thing I would suggest is, you know, I wish I had maybe, if I had started a little earlier, I could have, like, fine-tuned certain things or whatever. But maybe there's also, it's never too late. Like, I was, like, a part of me was like, oh, it's too late to pull this off. And I think that when you have a good idea, people want to jump on it and be a part of it. So don't, you know, trust the process. Trust you have as much time as you have and figure out how you can make it work. And to be, you know, just to trust your intuition and, I guess, and be creative. And also, you know, I bounced this idea off of her sister, and she was very encouraging of certain things. But, you know, to just trust your intuition and go for it. And, yeah, I mean, it also, like, so be creative. But I think this idea of combining elements that wouldn't necessarily go together. Like, for me, I wondered, will people get it? Will they get, like, the virtual book club, or, you know, that name I came up for it with it. But when I sent the emails out, people got it right away. There didn't seem to be any confusion. And so I would just say, even if it feels a little risky, most people are really up for a birthday caper or being part of a surprise. And I was really pleased, too, of how many, there were a number of people who actually said they were going to do the same idea. They were going to do it with their husbands or they had the idea of possibly doing it with them. I mean, with music now, it's a little different because, you know, everything is electronic, but, you know, you could send people CDs or, you know, it doesn't have to be books if someone's not a big reader. You could have people send their favorite poem or a recipe or, you know, just something that the thing itself is more just something concrete to kind of anchor the phone conversation. It's something tangible. I think that's what it is.
Yes, I love that. I think it's a great point that it could, you know, you could, again, I think so much of it about it is that first moment of really thinking about who is this gift for and, mm-hmm. you know, what would delight them. But using mm-hmm. your structure, I love this whole structure because it's such a wonderful structure, you know, for introverts or non-introverts, I think for anybody, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so I love that. Yeah, you could send, you know, people could make a favorite food and mm-hmm. you know, it could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I also love what you said.
I
love what you said about combining elements that might not necessarily go together. You know, mm-hmm. that's also really great. Like encouraging people to take those little risks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, too, the thing with this, I think you alluded to it, is that sometimes, I think, you know, we think of gift giving as, like, sometimes as this big, significant thing that maybe costs a lot of money or people go, they think about money first. And this, you know, this whole thing could have been done for no money if I'd gone to the library or if I bought only used books or if I asked people, like, you have to send the book from your bookshelf. You can't go out and buy
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly.
You know? we'll mail the book back to you. You know, like, so there's all sorts of ways to do it that money, and I actually think another thing about creativity, when you take, like, if you go, we're not going to spend money other than shipping and handling or postage, it forces you to get more creative. And it's that limitation that actually, to me, it more creativity comes out of that restriction rather than, like,
ooh.
Going on Amazon and I can buy anything on the internet as opposed to I can't use money. You know, if I can't use money, I'm actually going to have to come up with a different, I'm going to have to think about this a little differently. And it was just a little easier to come up with something that would be, I didn't feel like I could buy something that would have created this feeling.
That's a perfect point. You know, and I love, like you said, I think that one person really wanted to send the book off her shelf. Mm-hmm. Did you? Mm-hmm. And I, when you said that, I was like, oh, I love that. Like, I mean, it's great to get any book, but then to have a book that, you know, someone has pulled off their shelf that they've loved, there's all mm-hmm. that added level, you know. And the other mm-hmm. thing I was thinking when you were saying that is, yeah, we could handwrite a passage from our favorite book, or like you said, a poem. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, this does really illustrate that whole point that, you know, again, another quote-unquote cliche, but it really is the thought that counts. Mm-hmm. It really is.
It really is.
I mean, it really is. I always say to my son, there's a reason that these things are cliches, you know, and in that case, mm-hmm. it's like, it's so true. And I just love that. It also, it just brings us, I don't know, to me, I guess it harkens back to another time. Because like you said, we're all so trained right now to just like go online, buy what we buy, and it's done. And it's like what you're talking about, it's, first of all, like you said, who doesn't love something coming through the mail? Mm-hmm. Or the phone even is old-fashioned mm-hmm. now, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. just like, mm-hmm. I love that. It just harkens mm-hmm. back to a different time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as time, I think, becomes more precious, and because, you know, that's why it takes on more meaning, I think, again, the tangible of their, you know, that something comes in the mail that was handpicked, that, and that people are taking time out to really be with each other for a little bit of time. So it's actually satisfying. I think what you said, like, we're really conditioned to, like, at some point you get really overwhelmed with those calls that come in on that one day. And I think it's not very satisfying for the person who's leaving the message either. It's like, oh, I'm just, or when I know when I call people on their birthday, I'm not expecting to spend much time talking with them. And so it is a really lovely way to honor someone. And with just a little bit more plan, a little planning and a little thought. And then again, I feel kind of set for the next couple of birthdays.
You may be set for the rest of her life. It's not like you might.
She loves to read books, and she has this, I mean, it is like a mountain of books, but she is just like whipping through them. And, you know, me, I'll like open the middle of the book and read a chapter, and, you know, I always have a bunch going, but she just marshals right through them. So I think it's very satisfying for the people who sent the books. Like, so far, she, you know, she's read them and then had phone calls or emails with them just to talk about the books. She loves them, so.
You know what's dropping in for me right now, too, is that this is also such a perfect gift for someone who's older or perhaps maybe alone, you know, mm-hmm. an elderly mm-hmm. person who, you know, because it's like it really, it offers that, again, just offers the community and offers sort of an ongoing connection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that's the other thing that I was thinking is, you know, I love doing, you know, for elderly people in my life, like, you know, dessert of the month thing where I send them something mm-hmm. every month or something, you know, or I'll send a book a month or something mm-hmm. so that there's an ongoing connection, because I think that that's so important too, especially for people who might be a little more lonely.
Yeah. I just want to say one last thing I did as a follow-up. Because when I was contacting Jenny's friends, they asked for this. When it was all over, I sent the list of all the books that everyone had recommended, even if they weren't, you know, some people sent three or four recommendations, and I always got at least one, but sometimes two if it was just, like I said, on sale or something. And there were no duplicates, and I sent everyone the list of books, and then I also included a photo of the stack of books, and then I took a picture of Jenny when she was on the phone with someone today. Outside. So I wanted to give the people who had participated something back to see that they had helped, like, because we kind of crowdsourced your birthday. You know, there was this, you created the stack of books, and it actually, you know, this is where she was sitting when she had her calls. And so it was a nice way to kind of just complete the cycle of it and feel like, for my part as a gift giver, that I was sort of done once I had sent that off, and to thank them for being a part of it.
I'm really glad you said that, because that's such a great idea. And I'm sure people just love that. I want to see the list now too.
Well, I'd be happy to send it to you, and I am going to provide it to the bookstore. They, you know, they may be putting it on their blog or something like that, because it's a great promotion if you sell books, because who doesn't want someone coming in and buying lots of books? And or if this were something that people did for birthdays or holidays or things, and then, you know, not to to diss Amazon, I looked up a lot of the books on Amazon and got information, and I use it for certain things, but it felt really lovely. So here in the Bay Area, I had like 3 or 4 different stores that I could go to source these books, because a lot of the books were books that had been around. Like, I was amazed at some of these bestsellers that I had never heard of, and so it was really great to be able to support independent bookstores and get the books there as opposed to everything from Amazon.
Yeah, and I love it. I was just going to say, because yet again, there was yet another personal connection then, you know, and mm-hmm. the story sharing with the people at the bookstore about this,
mm-hmm.
you know, so there was that wonderful piece too, you know, mm-hmm. that had you gotten them from Amazon, you know, it would have been this transaction instead mm-hmm. of, you know, this connection, which it sounds like it really was.
Yeah. I mean, again, Amazon has its place, but it was just very satisfying to share it with them and let them in on it. And then they were, they're like, well, wait a minute, like, when do you need it? And we can get that. And, you know, it became, there was a sense of mission, I think, for everyone to pull this birthday caper off.
I absolutely love it. And I'm so grateful for all the details. And, you know, it's just so great. I can't wait to try it out on somebody.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your interest. And, you know, in terms of your series, I think it's like what's the best gift you've ever received is interesting. But I have to say, this was one of the best gifts I've ever given. And it was super fun and satisfying. And it was, you know, it was great to have, when you create something that has that kind of like goosebump energy, it was really like, it made me feel happy. And it made me really happy to see that it struck a chord with other people as well. And I think you're so much about celebration and magic, Sherry. And I just think that that's like, you know, to be kind of channeling that or being a conduit for that is really fun and inspiring. So I just love what you're doing and what you're about. Because I think that's what, you know, it is. It's, you know, better world through better gift giving, better meaningful gift giving. Because it's a real celebration. I think we're really hungry for satisfying celebrations. And I know that's what you're so much about. And I just really appreciate what you do and appreciate you giving me the chance to share the story as well.
Oh, well, yay. Thank you. This has been so much fun. I just love it.
Yay.
we'll stop right there.
Okay.
Officially. But I just want to tell you, I just absolutely love it. There was even so many more details this time than when you told me before. And wow. I love too that, I mean, I'm projecting that it's just as delightful for you to get to relive the experience as it was for me to hear it.
Yeah, well, you know, something that I'm focusing on personally right now is just really taking my creativity more seriously. And like, so for me on a personal level, like, I mean, yeah, I, number one, it was just so great that, like, when you give a gift and the person says, this is the best gift I've ever gotten, it's like, yeah, nailed it, you know, like, if you give a gift, that's what you want someone to say, you know, like, for me, that's sort of my hope, that they feel seen, and that you've given them something. For me, what was really wonderful was to not go, I want to be more creative and I'm just going to be creative in my chosen place where I'm creative, where, you know, writing or right now filmmaking or whatever. But rather, and I actually learned this from Lori, our shared friend, Lori Wagner, a writing teacher extraordinaire, who that when you're taking creativity more seriously, that it can inform, like, the way you might find yourself dressing differently or wearing different colors or doing things differently. And it was just when I could see the energy this created in other people, the number one thing people said is, like, that's so creative. And I thought, that's so creative. And it just felt good to be creating more space to allow my creativity to come out. And it just creates, I'm using the word creative a lot of times here, but it just, it's funny how it fosters more creativity and to not limit myself to like these domains of creativity.
Well, and you know, so what I love about that again, I mean, I keep seeing more levels to this. So you are giving a gift to your partner, but it was also such a gift for people to participate just in general. But mm-hmm. then that other level of like what it is to just be in the presence of creativity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that too, like it would have been, great for you to invite anyone to participate in anything for her birthday, right? That's always fun. But there's this whole other level of, I'm projecting onto all of them right now, but I know I'm right, of a gift of, that gift of just being a part of something creative and fun. So that's the other thing that, you know, is so wonderful about this gift. You know, so it's a gift for you. It's a gift for your partner. It's a gift for the people who got to participate. It's a gift for the booksellers because they got to hear about it. You know, it's really the joy. I mean, this is, I'm sure then anyone, like, it's a gift to me. I get to hear about it.
Yeah, it's a lovely sort of win-win-win-win all around, yeah.
It is. And I just, you know, that might seem obvious, but, you know, on the other hand, it's like, these are the sorts of things I think that we need to think about, right? So it's like, you could have gotten her a sweater. And that was, like, it's like, I'm sorry, but I would have been like, yeah, that's great. We wouldn't have, you know, we wouldn't have got to have this wonderful connection that we're having. And so,
yeah,
just to really honor that creativity that you trusted, you know, that you sort of let bubble up and, you know,
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it really is very satisfying in a certain way. And I think that I think is so special about what you do is, you know, people are going to give gifts anyway. They want to, and that it can be this really affirming and satisfying experience to enter into it. From a place of the opportunity that it is, as opposed to the obligation and the burden.
Oh, that's a great quote. No, that's so great. Opportunity, not obligation. I mean, that's so wonderful.
Yeah, and that creativity is the magic part. It's not about, you know, it's really that how creativity works. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this lately, and a lot of it is receptivity, like really tuning into the person. And by that, you don't even have to be with them. It's like, what is this person really about? What makes them happy? What makes them feel? And in this particular situation, I knew for like the books weren't just a given. That's like, that's an all the time. I knew that, but I knew that from this particular, and that's why it started with the phone calls, and what she said afterwards, she was really hungry for a sense of reconnecting to a larger sense of her life as opposed to just one area. And so that was just, and to me, it just, again, it was that how can we spread it out over time so that it allows for a deeper time to connect with people as opposed to throwing one great big celebration one day, which could also be perfect for someone. It's not that that's wrong, but it's like what, like this kind of the opportunity of getting present. Oh, using that word again, getting, I guess all these words have multiple meanings, but getting really present to the fact that you want to give this present and entering into it from that place of this opportunity to, you know, express whatever it is and, you know, love or, you know, being, again, present to this person and going, I see you. And I think, you know, I think that's at the essence of every great present that I've ever given or received. I remember, actually, I'm going to just launch into this. The best present I ever received was a curling iron from my favorite aunt when I was like about 12. I was raised between two brothers and have a much younger sister. And I remember she was dating my uncle at the time, and she gave me this orange and white curling iron. And I just remember feeling so seen. I was like, it was like she had looked into my little preteen soul, and it was like I just felt so seen. And so I think that's the thing too. I mean, curling irons back then didn't cost that much, and so it's like, you know, what might make this person feel really seen by me? Like, I see you, I know who you are, I love you, and I want you to have this so you can feel that I see you.
That is so beautiful. Yeah, I'm with you 100%, and I love that. I think that's so true. I think that really is. And I think often what happens when gift giving is an obligation is that people rush and hurry and often give gifts that maybe have more to do with them than the recipient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I see that happen a lot, and I hear a lot of those stories. And I think there's a way in which that, and I can speak from my own experience, it's a really sad feeling to get something that is a total miss. Like, don't they see me? You know, it's the opposite. You know? And I think that's
no,
right.
They don't. They see that because then there's that other thing of like, I want to give you, like, this has so much meaning for me and I love it and I want you to have it. I was at a gift giving. I'll save names to protect the guilty, but I was at one day. I was at a gift exchange and the gift receiver opened it and there was this like two or three shirts that were all plaid. And the gift giver said, "I never see you wearing plaid." You know, like, yeah, here's plaid. And we all looked at each other like, she never wears plaid. Why are you giving her plaid? And she was like, "I want to see you in plaid." Like, I thought I know it was probably coming from a good place, but we just, knowing the receiver, it was like, she doesn't wear plaid. She'll never wear plaid.
That is so funny. That's great.
Sorry, Lord. It's like, I never see you inside, and we're like, and you never will.
For 12 shirts, you probably won't see.
Yeah. Oh, so I don't think there's any malice there, but I think you do a great service by helping people enter into that, like, what is this, you know, when you're giving a gift, what, you know, not that there's a right or a wrong way, but... I think thinking about the other person is a great, getting present to the other person, to give them a present is maybe a good starting place.
I totally agree. I just have, so one more question for you.
Is sure.
This. Do you think, so that feels like it was rather intuitive for you, the whole process of what is, you know, what does she need right now? What's she hungry for?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that's something that is a natural thing to who you are? Did you learn that? Do you think, you know, I'm always curious about that piece of, do you think that is something that people, like if I said to a stranger on the street, you know, think about what they might really need right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that's something that anybody could do?
Well, I think proximity really helps in the degree to which you know someone. I mean, we live together. She's my partner. I've pretty tuned in, perhaps too tuned in to what's going on with her. You know, there's a dark side to all of this, too. We always have to the dark side, but you know what I mean? Being too tuned into someone sometimes. But I would say that, you know, I think the more you know someone, the more intuitive possibly you can be. But I also think that, you know, I'm not working in an office right now, but I can imagine being in an office in a coworker situation where you're not best friends with someone, but you know what's going on with them, and you could support them in a way that feels intuitive and present, but is appropriate to the level of connection you have with them. So I think yes, I think you can, and I think it's about the quality of the that intuition and that presence is appropriate to your relationship as opposed to. I don't think it has to be about the depth of the connection as much as the quality of the connection.
I love that. Oh, that's great. See, I'm so glad that I didn't stop the recording when we officially stopped because then there was just all this other yummy stuff.
Yeah.
I love it.
I hadn't really thought that much about it, but all this stuff in looking at it more deeply, I think, does contribute to why it was just such a satisfying experience, and why I think it's what I'm trying to cultivate in my life in general. It's just, you know, so I hope that helps, but I do actually think it's true. I do think that, you know, it probably helps with the more, but it could also be harder the more you know someone or the more complicated your relationship is with someone. Like, you know, like if I were doing this for, you know, like my mom lives 3,000 miles away and like it might be harder for me to figure out, like, I don't know what's on her nightstand or who I like to find her friends or whatever. So all of that was a lot easier. Oh, and I do have to say, I was able, I had some things, like I had the contact information for a lot of her friends, but I could also go into her phone and get that information out. So sometimes
that's true. That's a great point. Yeah.
But I would say, I would enlist others as well. I mean, her sister was really helpful in, you know, encouraging me to go for it. Like, she didn't jump in and do it, but it was really funny because, you know, this was the other thing. You schedule all these people, and you're hoping they're going to call on time, but she lives in town, and she was my backup. I was like, you know, if someone calls me at the last minute and can't come, I don't want to mess up the, you know, our run. Like, I need you on call and you'll just call her and talk to her. And we didn't need to do that, but it was nice to know. I think on the last day she came over and gave her a book and had coffee with her. So, you know, that's another thing too, you can build in backups and sure things, like kind of people that you can kind of just say, I need you to do this.
That's so great. These are really great details. And, you know, I love this. So talking to you, you know, it made me realize that I think what I would love to do with all of this is maybe a combination of pulling some of the best, like, snippets of audio and then also maybe writing something up. I'll have to see. But also, when you said that you had photographs, I was hoping that you might be willing to share those with me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, that would be awesome, because then there could be kind of like the inspirational audio part, you know, and then maybe a kind of like how-to part.
Yeah, yeah.
Which this is fun because it's all just sort of, I'm just like, oh, this is great. You know, I don't really know how it's going to work, but it's, you know, it's great.
Yeah. And sure, I know that I'm glad that we did just sort of go for it and go all over. But if you find in listening to it and kind of getting it down to its essence, if you want to re-record something that's shorter and more to the point and like here's the audio and then there's other, I'd be happy to, like you could literally even send me a transcript and I could like, I wouldn't say it, you know, we could re-record it in a way that you've got what you needed without having to do a ton of editing. Don't hesitate to say, okay.
I appreciate that. I do, but, you know, it's like sort of my style is kind of just, you know, I love the present moment. There was a lot of just, you know, joyful energy. And that's really, at least as far as I'm concerned, you know, just as important, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really, because I don't have a right way in my mind, which is also helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just knew I wanted to talk to you and get the story. And then actually, as life often happens, there was just like so much more, you know, it's like, I thought, you know, I love that. I thought, well, I'll talk to you and I'll get this wonderful story about the gift. But there was actually, I loved hearing your thoughts on a lot of the other, you know, layers to it.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the chance to talk about it. Cause it's fun. It's just fun, you know.
It is fun. And I just want one other thing I wanted to say to you, that it's like one of the things I love about this sort of thing is without a doubt, I mean, I have no doubt that for the rest of her life and probably yours, this will be a standout moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's like you followed your intuition, you let your creativity be free, and you created something that is truly like, to me, you know, and this is what people always say on their deathbeds, right? I mean, it's these sorts of things that we remember.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're championing these moments. We need champions and reminders of these moments.
Yeah, me too, you know. And I just really saw that so clearly when you were talking. Like, you know, that was a gift in the moment, but it's just, it's a gift forever, you know, and I think that's one of the big differences, too.
You know, I love that you say that, too, because, you know, I have to say, I mean, I may not be 100% clear about this, but there is a part of me that I think the reason I keep talking about it and sharing it is that it was like a satisfying experience. Like, I'm sure some part of me is like, oh, aren't I so creative? But, you know, coming from ego or whatever, like, I know that's part of it. I mean, well, just I have, you know, that's part of it. But I think for the most part, it goes back to that Quincy Jones quote. Like, I just got so freaking excited about this awesome experience that I got to be a part of. And that when I see other people have that response and reaction, it encourages me to keep growing and going in the direction that I'm going in, which is to trust my intuition, to put my creativity out there. You know, because the bombs, sometimes the bombs that don't work, you know, can have a lot of weight. Why not be really generous and enthusiastic in sharing when a creative win comes along? And I really liked how you said it was kind of this win-win-win for everyone involved. And why not talk about that and share it? And you know, I'm very excited at the thought that other people
might potentially be doing it. And we're going to, and like I said, and I'm a whole year ahead of myself now. I absolutely know what I'm going to do for a birthday next year. So, you know, and I think it will have a different effect next year, perhaps, you know, depending on where she is and how it feels to be talking to this, having a different theme now, talking to all the boys. So,
yeah, I just want to say, because in response to what you just said, do you know Rick Hansen, Buddha's Brain?
I'm sorry, Rick Hansen what?
He's the author of Buddha's Brain.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. But one of the things that I always love to quote him on is because he says that the mind is like Velcro for the negative and Teflon for the positive.
Mm.
And he actually talks a lot about the physiology of the brain. And he says that in order to really get the mind to remember the good feelings, we really need to consciously focus on them. He says for at least 20 seconds. And what you said, I think, is so important. It's like something that I work with a lot with my coaching clients, which I call an anchoring in the joy. So it's like when these sorts of things happen, I think it's really important to keep telling them and telling them and feeling it and getting it anchored in your body, because otherwise our monkey minds will, you know, have us forget. And it's really important.
Yeah. It really is, and I think for me, like, especially I've been thinking a lot at this time of year, if you're familiar with, I think Danielle Laporte talks about core desired feelings, but, you know, the law of attraction is all about core desired feelings as well, and for me, creativity, cultivating creativity, believing and trusting and, you know, to do something concrete and tangible that, like, that I believe is creative, and to remind myself there, that is creative. That was creative. That is what creativity looks like. It is an action. What it makes me want to do is keep being creative, taking creative risks.
Even this conversation, so just to really fully appreciate you for this, you know, this conversation has been a creative experience for me and you.
Yeah,
you were here to make that happen and to be the one to facilitate it. And so I really see this as, you know, creativity in action.